Going on, man. How you doing?
Doing awesome. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm good.
Nice shirt. 1972.
Yeah.
There, you gotta love that.
Dude, man, Floyd. I mean, it's the band, right? I mean,
Everybody tries to do a Sergeant Pepper and a Dark Side of the Moon. So
yeah, that's what you guys should do next. Metal Church should go out and do their version of Dark Side of the Moon.
well, I don't know how the fans would take that, but I'll try to do that in other projects, right?
You know, I actually did a I called it the Gilmore Experience,
Oh, nice.
and I did a handful of shows that way because I'm an absolute fanatic for David Gilmore.
He's one of my favorites as well.
Yeah, one of the most tasteful players.
Well, that's exactly why. You know, he picks the right note. He doesn't have to pick 800 of them, just one.
You know, and I think that's a really serious talent that's missed by guitar players,
Bingo.
right? We say too much, you know, in the
There's,
conversation of music.
yeah, exactly. Just hit the right note. That's all you need, rather than, hey, that's great that you can do that. And that's fine. It's impressive. I mean, I can't play like that, but I also don't want to. So it's like,
Right. Well, you know what? It's like, you've been around though for quite some time. I got to tell you, I started listening to Metal Church in the early days.
Nice.
Oh, I went through, I think I'm like a lot of people, man. I go through these phases. You start out in classic rock and then you experiment with King Diamond and Metal Church and Anthrax, and then you go to smooth jazz.
Hey, there's two kinds of music. There's good and bad.
Right.
And it's,
Right.
I've gone, yeah. I'm still firmly living in 1972.
Yeah.
Speaking of your shirt, 72 or 73, that's the most of the stuff I listen to
Yeah.
still. You know, because
Yeah.
that's the stuff that inspired me. So yeah, ab it's absolutely yeah. And I go off on a tangent. Okay, now this month or this few months, I'm into this kind of music, checking out stuff that I had missed because there was so much happening that you
Yeah.
couldn't keep track of it. So there's a whole bunch of stuff I missed, and then I'll go through that phase, buy a bunch of rock, collect the vinyl on those bands. Then I'll go, oh, I'm gonna try going down over here, Southern Rock, and go over and check that out. And so I just go all over the place. It's a lot of fun, man. You know, I love
Yeah, there's
music. So,
a lot of great music, a lot of great players out there.
yep.
Let me ask you this though, and I'm sure you might have been asked this before, I don't know, but you know, you just mentioned that you're in 72. 72 is really it's really a departure from Metal Church.
Oh, absolutely. But that's where I
Right.
started, you know.
Yeah. So how did you end up doing the music of Metal Church if you grew up and you know what I mean? And
Well, it started off in the 60s, started off with the Beatles, like most people my age, and then it just progressively, as things developed, you were paying attention to what's going on in music, got more sophisticated, got heavier, and it got more experimental, and it got more progressive. So in the late 60s, early 70s, the amount of stuff that was going on is just still to this day boggles my mind. I mean, you had everything from, Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin, then you had Uriah Heep, and then you had the glam movement with Bowie and Slade and Sweet, and then you had, the prog rock movement all simultaneously. You know, and it was just like, wait, teenage kids were listening to Emerson, Lake and Palmer. I mean, like, you get a kid now 18 years old is going to listen to something classically influenced. You're gonna hear a bunch of kids listening to rap and hip hop and what they call R&B, and it's like, that's not R&B, it's a computer having an attack, and it's like, that's not, no. And then you had on then you had Southern rock that was amazing in that era, and then you had then the soul and R&B stuff of that time, the OJs and all the Motown stuff. I mean, there was just so much good music going on that it was just, you couldn't keep up with all of it. And that's why it was just such an amazing time for creativity in rock music. The template had expanded like incredibly to where, I mean, Sergeant Pepper kicked the door open for that. But then you had bands in the late 60s like Blue Cheer, and that launched into Black Sabbath, and it just kept going, and Queen, and then, Yes, and it just, and still, it fascinated Pink Floyd. It just fascinates me still how you know, what a time it was, you know.
Yeah. And why do you think that, and I know this is off the topic of Metal Church, but I hope you That's don't right. mind. This is cool. No. What do you think stopped that? Why do you think that it isn't like that today? Because it feels like it isn't, you know, there's just
not at all. Well, one thing, and it's not anything against, you know, musicians now, but at that particular time, there was so much that had not been done yet. So it was kind of a free for all, you know, everything. There was so much, then pretty soon everything, you know, and then, you know, in, you know, the whole term of corporate rock started coming up in the later 70s when the big industry came in and realized it was a big moneymaker. And then another perfect example of something happened in the 70s that was great is the first generation punk movement. You know, that was a reaction to the commercial stuff, which shook everything back into place and what rock and roll was all about. And, you know, I love that. But I think a lot of it just became, it just, the whole business of music became a thing. And things changed. And I think, you know, with the grunge movement was the last real movement of rock music that had a kind of a sound, galvanizing sound and a look or a vibe to it. After that, it's been, I think with the advent of the computer and the internet, it's so segmented now. If you like this kind of music, you listen to this channel and this station over here. And if you like this kind of music, you listen here. And if you like this, you listen here and like that. So, because we remember radio where even if it was FM, you'd be listening to something and something, your favorite song would come on, a hard rock song or something would come on. And then after that, it would be some song that you didn't care for, but you were exposed to all this stuff that was happening, right. You know? And so, and it was, there's two or three stations to listen to. Now it's endless, you know, right. And iPods and streaming. And so there's no galvanizing sound of any kind of movement anymore, which in some ways is kind of cool, but then in some ways it kind of sucks. Then this era has no definition musically.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Okay. If you want to define the 90s grunge, you know, the 80s, you know, you had new wave and hair metal, you know, and then on, you know, thrash metal. And as each generation came on, it got smaller and smaller. But you look at the 2000s and on, what defines that musically? Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's a little bit of everything, you know, maybe rap and hip hop in the pop world, but no. I mean, if we're speaking of rock, there's just, it's just out there. And I don't think a lot of the younger bands and the kids have the right influences. You know, I think there is some, obviously, like a band like Greta Van Fleet, they obviously got into their parents' Zeppelin records, you know, which is great, more power to them. You know, they actually can play well and they're working real hard and they're quite good at what they do. But, you know, there's very few young bands that can write songs and play well.
Right.
You know, so I'm sure there's exceptions. I mean, I'm just saying the ones that I'm aware of, you know, and it's like, and so there's good and bad with that. You know, yeah, there's a little bit of everything and there's a market for kind of everything, but nothing is really defining a sound or defining a generation.
Yeah. And you know, and I feel that that's kind of, it's kind of the same thing when it comes to guitar. It really feels like we went through a period where there was an emphasis on guitar. Mm-hmm. And with me, you know, for my own opinion, I think that kind of started with like Chet Atkins and Roy Clark and guys like that.
Roy Clark, good one. Yeah.
Right. And worked its way to Satriani and Vai and guys and Malmsteen and that. And then all of a sudden, it's like there's a lot of great players out there. I mean, really great players. But it's like that's not there no more. It's like it doesn't feel like it's growing. You're progressing anymore.
Well, you can only play so fast and you can only be so good. You know, I mean, after a while, it just becomes like, OK, great. He's one of those guys who went to school and learned the scales and he's very good and blah, blah, blah. But for me, that's why I'm a rhythm guitar player, because I want the song.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the one thing that I see of a lot of modern bands, with a few exceptions, again, that I'm aware of, because there may be a whole bunch of stuff going on that I'm not aware of just because of the way the industry is and the way it is set up now. You know, kids aren't really learning to play, you know, not like we did, not like we, it was just, I'm sure there's certainly exceptions to that. Because I know there is kids out there that are digging into 70s and 60s records and learning how to play and learning into 80s metal bands and, you know, all the great guitar players from the 80s, you know, the George Lynches and those guys, you know. Yeah. But it's not as prevalent. And I wonder, and I think a lot, like when I grew up, even my little podunk town of Aberdeen, Washington, You know, there was like six bands in this little town. You know, I mean, in my neighborhood, there used to be garage bands in the neighborhoods.
Yeah.
I haven't come across or heard a band rehearsing anywhere I don't even remember the last time I heard that. So I'm like,
yeah.
And wonder what's, it's just different now, you know?
Yeah.
Music is more popular than ever, but it's consumed differently. You know, everybody's walking around with headphones on, you know? So it's out there. And if you just look, it doesn't look like it was, but it's being consumed more than ever, but access to it is just so it's on everything. It's on your phone. It's on your iPod. It's on your computer. It's on your TV. It's everywhere. So, yeah, that's why I'm glad vinyl is popular.
I think it's a good thing that, you know, anybody can make music and record it in their home and stuff like that. But there's a part of me that wonders, is it a good thing that anybody can do that and make it available for the entire world to where it saturates the market to where people don't know? Some people might not know your album's about to come out simply because there's so much shit going on.
And that's why I might not know about a lot of bands that I don't know about.
Right.
You know, I don't know how to find out, you know, I mean, I guess there's ways, but there's a plus side and there's a good side to bad side to that. And I think about that often. You know, when the music industry changed, when the whole Napster thing and the internet really started to come into prominence. So the whole download thing and all of that kind of stuff. So that changed the dynamic of the industry suddenly. But the good thing that came from that is it eliminated the major label filter, which meant old guys like me. Well, I don't say old guys, I say veterans, but you know, but it's, you know, the big money isn't there anymore. But the good side is that we don't have to sit there and live and die by some, you know, non-knowing musical A&R guy, not all of them, some of them know a lot about it, but some musical idiot that's going to decide what's going to be popular and what's not. And your career lives and dies by this guy in an office who knows nothing.
Right. You know?
And so that filter is gone. So now it's direct artist to fans and the independent label, you know, like Rat Pack, we work with is fantastic. And that's allowing people like me and others to stay in the business legitimately because it's direct artist to fans now. So the big money isn't there, but that's okay because the price you pay to have it be about big money is you need the major label,
right?
You know, and they decide he lives, he dies. So that filter is gone. Mm-hmm. So that's a wonderful upside. But the other problem with production, the great thing is I can do like what I do. I make the records here at my house. Mm-hmm. You know, I have my own studio and I don't have to spend, you know, $1 million to do it because digital has gotten good. It wasn't good at first.
Right.
But it's gotten good. But the problem with that is then you have a bunch of people that decide they want to be a record producer and they buy some software and suddenly they think they're a producer.
Right.
And the music business is not competitive. It's just crowded.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, and you, like you just said, you have to filter through the schlock, you know, and yeah. And so, yeah. So it gets, you take the good with the bad.
Right.
But for a lot of years there in the beginning, and you know, about the 2000 when, you know, things were really changing, I was scared. I was like, it's over, man. It's over. But what's happened is now it's shifted to where it's a new music business, but I love it now, even though it's not big money, but we are in complete control of our career. And there's enough music fans out there. Well, there's probably more music fans now than ever, but again, it's consumed differently where we can do what we want. There's no expiration date on us anymore. You know, because we don't have to live and die by a trend and some A&R guy or something like that. So it's the upside definitely outweighs the downside to me.
Yeah. You're exactly right. And I think it's a good thing that, you know, people like yourself, you know, have the ability now to control your career, you know, in a lot of ways in that. Yep. And, you know, and I can't speak for you, but I can say that a lot of people I know, you know, it's not, you know, nobody's trying to get rich. Everybody just wants to do what they love.
Bingo. And
they just want to make a career at it, you know, and that's it.
Hey, if what I'm doing is generating income, then I want it.
Yeah.
You know, but I do it anyway.
Right.
Yeah. You know? I mean, yeah, it's just, and that's one of the things too. Now, a lot of bands and members have lots of different projects going, which I love. I got two or three different projects going, which I love doing, you know, so it's a lot more creative. And then even though you're not making the big bucks, If your record is successful, you can go make some good money doing some shows if you build it up and if you do good work. You know, I still think, you know, if you do quality work, make good sounding records and write good songs, the rest will take care of itself.
Right.
You know, you're not going to be multi-platinum anymore, but then you don't have the kind of music that is made just simply to make money, which is something in the late 70s that I was like when the whole thing started where, you know, I call it the post Frampton Comes Alive era. As soon as that album blew up, the all the bean counters and business people went, oh, we can make how much money with this stuff? Okay. And then that went in and changed the dynamic of the business, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's so that the I want to do this because I want to be rich. That's gone. Yeah. Now you want to do it because, well, like our bass player, he does it to get chicks. You know,
so good
there's
for
still
him.
That rock and roll element, but you know, Steve will appreciate that I said that. But yeah. But that feels like you're doing it for the right reasons now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the big money isn't there.
Yeah. Right. So let's talk about metal for a minute, though. You know, the landscape has, you know, like in any other area of music, has changed drastically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so how much harder, how much more difficult has it become to tour as a metal band?
Well, currently it's almost impossible to tour unless you're big time because of the expense of touring. Because right now with fuel prices and everything and inflation, getting a bus going, you know, it's just, you can't, you know, it's just, you know, and especially like bands are canceling stuff in Europe because it's even worse there at the moment. But touring, you know, touring for us, you know, let's, you know, get rid of the inflation factor and all that is, it's all right. You know, there's some areas where we do better than others and we can do it, you know, and it's still worth our time to do it. But it is a little bit difficult. In as much as it depends on how much promotion you have, and it depends on your certain areas. Like we do great in Europe, you know, and you know, in certain areas in the States and things, certain areas we don't. So I can't really complain about the touring situation for us anywhere. I mean, we still get to do it, which is a blessing in itself, but whatever capacity. But touring at the moment is pretty difficult. That's why we're just doing fly-ins, and then we have, you know, about 6 or 7 shows at the end of the month that we're going to be just traveling cheaply just to do them, you know, just because it's right now it's everything with inflation and everything cost of fuels, you know, it's
like, it seems, you know, I've noticed, except for with, you know, Taylor Swift and people like that, it seems like most people, you know, they've got like a run of shows and then there's nothing for a while. And then there might be another small run of shows.
Right, exactly. That's the only way we can right now while we're navigating through all this BS that's going on. So,
yeah. And I feel really bad for the European bands because there's a lot of great metal bands in Europe that can't ever come over here because it's just not cost effective. It's just
not right now. Yeah. That's good. That will change though, but we've got to ride this out, but yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, some of them guys just don't ever get the opportunity. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is. Because, there's a lot of good bands over there.
Yeah. I always find it amazing, you know, or I find it interesting how people view the changes that have taken place. Because, you know, you like to look at just our just life in general, you know, over the last 40 years, how different the world is, or how different our country is, or how different things are. And to think about it from a music perspective,
right,
being in the industry, you know what I mean? You get guys like, what, regardless of how you feel about it, like Ted Nugent announcing, I'm never going to tour again because it's just not worth it anymore.
Right. Yeah. You know? I mean, I love Ted Nugent he's still doing shows and stuff.
Yeah, right? He's not after this year. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's also getting up there, too, where touring would be a little bit. So he's not playing live anymore. I haven't heard that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he announced he wasn't. Yeah. I just had him on my show not long ago, and he announced that he wasn't going to tour anymore just because it was too costly. It wasn't worth it.
Well, that will change. And I think he's referring to what I'm talking about. Yeah. Just the expense right now and everything right now is just, it's not cost effective at all to do it. Right. You know? Because you can't afford to do it. Because to tour, people got to realize it's not just about the band making money. I mean, you have a buttload of expenses to tour.
Right.
You know, you got your travel, your accommodations, your travel, your road crew, your everything. I mean, it's expensive. So, you know, so So I would imagine he probably wants things when things change, which they will there. You know, I think a lot of people are going to change. Right now you can't, you know, right now you can't. So, So,
it's really, how about the fans, you know, in metal music from your perspective, how have they changed or have they over the years?
We're all put on a little weight, lost a little hair, and you know, our hair's a lot grayer.
Right.
You know, that's about all the changes, you know. Maybe a divorce or two, you know.
Right. Maybe but it's still solid.
It's absolutely solid. Yeah. It is a kind of a phenomenon because again, when we were starting out when I was a kid, if you were over 30, you were done.
Yeah.
You know, that was just the norm because there wasn't any bands, not even the Stones at that point were over 30, you know. But everything's changed now. That's like I said, there's no expiration date on us anymore, which is really cool. And that's why the bands that are out there touring and playing and making records and playing rock and roll and metal and stuff are all old guys, you know, veterans, you know, and it's like there's a few young guys out there. But yeah, it's all our generation, you know.
Yeah. So let's talk about your music and your playing for a little bit. You as a guitar player, you know, you said you were influenced by people in the 70s, but what led you to play guitar? I mean, why did you choose? I know you play other instruments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I started playing drums after the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. So when I was a little kid, I played drums from about 5 till about 12.
Yeah.
And then I was like, and then I switched to bass because I wanted to learn how to do that. And then after a couple of years of that, playing in my first bands as a bass player, then just kind of natural progression to want to learn to play guitar.
Yeah. You know?
So it was the whole thing. I wanted to do this on every level possible.
Yeah. You know?
And so, and then I started teaching myself how to play keyboards and that kind of stuff too. So yeah, just wanting to be able to create music, play music, in any capacity I could, any and every capacity that I could.
Right.
Yeah.
In order to, you know, to be where you are today, any musician, you know, has had to have a lot of dedication and time and investment in what they do. What would you say are some things you did when you were forming yourself as a musician that have made you the musician that you are right now?
From a musician's standpoint, just focus, just laser focus going, well, I have no interest in doing anything else. Mm-hmm. So I better make this work and I better get good at it or work at getting good at it, you know? And I think that's just complete dedication and willing to sacrifice any kind of financial stability, any kind of relationship stability, any kind of, you know, address stability for a while, you know, these kinds of things, you know, you just keep going, you just do it. And, you know, and you work, and it's like anything, you just decide what you want to do and you work your ass off at it.
Yeah.
And that's the, I think it's pretty much that might sound kind of cliche, but it's, and I don't mean to oversimplify it, but I think that goes for anything that you're into. If you want to create your own path and create your own career, there's no other way around it. You know,
yeah,
it doesn't just fall into your lap.
Right. Yeah. I like that. You know, I know I've made the analogy to people before when they've, you know, talking about this, about how, you know, how you pretty much got to put blinders on like a horse, because you have to stay laser focused on what's going on and ignore all the noise. Because, you know, did you go through, or did you have, I'm sure you probably did. Did you have people say, well, you can't do this, it's never going to work, you should stop, go be a bus driver, you know?
Absolutely. When you, the people around that, when you go through, you know, because you go do like this, you know, especially when you're starting out, you go up like this and then it falls apart. You know, people say, well, I guess it's just not going to work.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you have that. It's like, no, it was, so I had a setback. I'm not stopping, you know, and people that, and it just shows the people that just gave up,
right,
you know, in their life. You know, oh, it didn't work out perfectly and it didn't continue to go like this perfectly, so just stop.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, fuck you. Yeah. Right. You know, yeah. No. So yeah, that absolutely happened. You know.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And that's where it comes in. The relationship things don't work because, you know, and just, and when you're, it's hard to be married to two things, you know, because there's two loves. You have who you're with and what you do, and never the twain shall meet, you know. And it's like, so some people, you got to find the right person. So, you know, if you're into this, you know, it's not easy. So, but those are the things you got to sacrifice.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. It's tough. I think a lot of times that the people that are the most harsh on you as a musician, you know, is family members.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, family.
I've been fortunate in that respect. I didn't have that from family members.
Yeah.
My family was always extremely supportive. So I was very, very blessed and fortunate in that respect. So, but yeah, you're right. In most cases it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I can go back and think it was 1988 and I was just getting ready to go on tour with Buddy Miles. My first tour. In that, and it went really well, but then I came back home and the tour was over and I'm mowing lawns and playing in my own band, you know, on the side, waiting for the next, you know, gig, next show and stuff like, and everybody's like, well, it's too bad it didn't work out. It's like,
well, then it's like, what do you mean it didn't work out? I just played
with Buddy Miles.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, that's great. What, so it can't stop?
Yeah.
So yeah, it just it does show you a little insight into their psyche, you know, about how they look at things and why so many people just give up.
Yeah.
You know? It's good. Just like, oh no, it got rough. Oh no, quit.
Yeah.
Like, no. Yeah.
But for you, you know, I mean, you've been at this, you know, since the 70s, really. When did Metal Church start? 76?
No, Metal Church started 81, but I 81. Was in. I was doing like, did my first record in 79. I was involved in the first generation punk movement.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So I've been at it since the late 70s. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. And I mean, Metal Church since 81. I mean, how many decades, you know, have you been, you know, pushing at it? I mean, that says an awful lot, you know, it says an awful lot about you as a musician.
Or a stubborn person.
Well, you know what? Yeah. You're still garnishing success.
Well, that's the thing. That's what just like, you know, it's like, if you would have told me, you know, 40 years ago that you'll still be doing this in your 60s, you'd be like, no way. No, not a chance. Yeah. No, I better make my millions and then just settle down and buy a house and I'll be okay. And then I'll, you know, I'll do something else, you know, but I'm not, I mean, there's a lot of guys from our era that are still doing it,
yeah.
You know? So it's like, no, it's great. Again, no expiration date now, and that's the one great thing about the new music business, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you think that your music in Metal Church has progressed over the years? Or would you say you've pretty much maintained the same standard? You're just trying to keep cranking out the best.
You know, I don't know as far as metal is concerned and Metal Church is concerned, whether it's really progressed. I think it's kind of gone different directions depending upon the time, but it was never influenced by a trend or anything. It's been, we established what Metal Church is. And then there's been slight variations of that. My music in Metal Church, I've always tried to maintain the same standard, you know, and like anybody, when you put out an album, it's always the best album you can do at that time. So there's good ones, bad ones, and mediocre ones and things like that. So, you know, and that's just a matter of, you know, for the listener to decide. But, you know, as someone who creates it, you always try to do the best you can at that time. So I don't know that Metal Church has all changed, because one of the things that I didn't like when some of my favorite bands in whatever genre would start changing their sound. You know, so what I decided to do was to do different projects, leave Metal Church as Metal Church and try my hand at just doing some melodic rock, or try my hand doing some progressive rock or different projects, to leave that as an entity within itself. So I don't mess with that formula and don't change the ingredients, because the fans that want to buy a Metal Church record, they want classic old school. They want metal.
Yeah.
You know? They don't want, you know, metal with a dance vibe to it or whatever, you know, they want metal. And as a fan of music, there's a band that I like, I don't want them to start changing their sound, you know, on me, you know, because then it's like, well, that's not why I like your band, you know.
Yeah.
So instead of messing with that, that's why I got Presto Ballet. That's why I did the solo stuff, the Vanderhoof stuff.
Right.
And, you know, and just doing different things. And now I got Hall of Flames back together. We've got a new album coming out this fall that just came out amazing. That, I mean, way amazing in as much as way better than we had expected. So yeah. We were just kind of putting the record together to document the songs that had been sitting there for 25 years that needed a home. We never got our second album done. So we just decided, because of the way things are now, let's just do this. Let's just record these songs so they're documented, you know. And then as it worked out, the album came out just like, okay, guys, we got to make this real. So that's going to be a thing. We're going to go out and gig. And when the album's out, it's going to be a real thing, because it just turned out way better than we're all excited about it. So I have different things going on, you know, and I like to challenge myself, especially with like the progressive rock stuff. Cause I'm a big prog head too. You know, I love that stuff. And so that was Presto Ballet is my attempt at that's my kind of shot at doing prog rock, you know, in my way, you know, whatever that may be, you know. So that's what I like to do. I like to create music.
You know. Yeah, that's really cool. So you find that, you know, when you develop yourself as an artist or as a band, you develop Metal Church, and it's like you have your own lane, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you've got a lane, and when fans find you going outside of that lane, do you find that you start to scratch their head and get a little angry? And it's like Rush, when Rush went to synthesizers.
Yeah, you know, I lost. They lost me.
Still my favorite band. Yeah,
they're still one of my favorite bands. But now, as I've grown up, I totally understand why they did that.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, right, okay. And they did it with integrity. It just didn't really appeal to me. As a matter of fact, I like the 80s Rush stuff better now than I did then. Because my Rush is Fly By Night, Farewell to Kings, Hemispheres. You know, that stuff that's just, you know, that's just the best.
Yeah.
You know, but they changed because they're artists. They want to be creative and they wanted to try other things. And it was a new thing. So I totally had mad respect for them during that period, but I don't listen to that era, even though they're still my favorite band. I don't like that era of stuff. I don't particularly care for anything past Moving Pictures, you know, but they're still my favorite band, or one of them, you know, even though they changed, but I know why they changed. You know, they did it within their own band, where I went and did other projects. You know, I get that, you know.
Right. So. Yeah, I'm the same way. I stopped listening or stopped buying albums after that same album. Yeah, and I've done that with a lot of people. I did that with Van Halen. When Van Halen came out with Diver Down, they lost me. I was done.
Yeah, it's all cover tunes.
I don't know what it was about it. It's like, how'd you go from Van Halen 1, you know, and Women and Children? And
Fair Warning.
Yeah, you know? That'd be great, man.
It's like, how do you, oh God, I was just talking to a buddy of mine about Van Halen. And just, I remember when that record came out and I was in high school, you know, and I was a reasonable good guitar player for, you know, a 16-year-old kid or seven, whatever age I was. All of a sudden, again, on the radio, because that's where you heard stuff, comes Eruption. Yeah. You know, you're just like,
yeah, what's that?
Like, what in the hell is that? And then you really got me. And then all of a sudden you discover what it is. And then all of a sudden Van Halen, and then watch it on YouTube, which I love about YouTube. You can see old footage, you know, of Van Halen, like when they were opening for Sabbath or whatever on their first couple of tours. And you go, oh my God, look at that.
Yeah.
You know, they had everything, like the ultimate exciting American Southern California rock band, you know, Roth fronting the band like nobody's business, the guitar player who changed the way people play, and those songs and the attitude, and the whole thing was just like, oh my God, look at that band.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that doesn't happen. And then when the first Boston album came out, you know, driving along, and all of a sudden More Than a Feeling comes on, you're like, I'll never forget driving around with my buddy, you know, Friday nights, driving around, cruising, you know, drinking beer, driving around, because we could do that then, you know. And all of a sudden, with the radio on, and all of a sudden, More Than a Feeling came on, and we literally pulled over and we're like, you know, staring at the stereo, like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
You know, those moments, which are what, you know, that kind of define where you're going, you know.
Yeah.
Hearing Van Halen, and then Boston, and I'm sure there's, you know, other albums that do that too, but the impact.
You know. Would you give, if you were given advice to a young band, would you tell them, you know, once you develop your sound and your style and you have success with that, don't deviate from that? Or would you say, you know what, if you feel like you got to do it, you know?
You know, I think that would literally be a case by case basis.
Yeah.
I think it would depend on the style of the band. I think it would depend on the competency of the songwriting.
Yeah.
You know, could they kind of veer off over here and pull it off? You know, it, I don't think there's a one size fits all for something like that. I do wonder how new bands, even though we don't know a lot of them, because we don't know of a lot of them, I don't know how a new band gets discovered. How does a new band, I mean, is it literally just on a social media thing now? You know, I mean, where do you play? Where is there a scene that we don't know about it because I'm old? You know, you know what I mean? I mean, seriously.
No, I got it. I got
I wouldn't know how to do it now.
Yeah. I can tell you from my experience, the only way I know about new things is because I have publicists and record labels and managers sending me stuff all day long, every day of the week. If right. they didn't, I wouldn't know 90% or probably even more that I haven't listened to the radio. I can't even tell you the last time I listened to the radio. I'm one of these guys that I create. I hate Spotify because I'm yep. a musician myself, but I use it. I hate to admit I use
yeah.
it.
Well, you know, right.
It's what I use to create my playlist, and I'm a creature of habit, you know, and it's like, if right. something comes out, I don't know. The only way I know is then I get a publicist send me something or a record label send me something. I go, damn, this is really good. How come I never heard of these guys before? It's like right. their fourth album. It's like,
right. Oh, I know that will happen occasionally. Like, it's yeah. like, how did I miss these guys?
Yeah.
You know, and it's just because of the nature of the business now.
Yeah.
Because there's no funnel anymore. It used to be funneled through the label and then to the radio, but now it's just, you know, and you've right. got to go through it and pick through it. And, you know, you get burned a lot too. You start digging into stuff and it's just, this is crap. Oh, this is horrible. This is crap. You know, and then you have to dig through to find the gems, you know, they're out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And again, because it's so different, it's so weird. You know, it looks like music isn't as popular, but it's probably more popular than ever because everybody's got it on their phone and in their head and, you know, it's on everywhere. But like I said, there's no, you don't hear any garage bands going off of some kids, you know,
yeah.
playing Sweet Emotion in the garage or something, you right. know, and it's just like that. I don't know. I don't hear that anymore.
Right.
It doesn't mean it doesn't happen just because I don't know about it, but it's right. it's like, it used to be everywhere.
You know? Right. Well, it's like, you don't see kids playing in the park anymore.
That's right. They're at home doing this.
Yeah, I'm always yeah. complaining about that. It's like, I never see no kids in the park. They're, you know, where are they? I don't see kids riding bikes or doing any of the things that, you know, kids.
Well, because now they're sitting around eating fake food, playing video games.
Yeah,
you know, feels, or on feels. The internet, or on their phone. You know, it's like.
So what kind of advice, though? I mean, really, would you give a young band that wants to move into metal music today in this landscape?
Boy, I would say, I mean, make sure that you love it. You've got to make sure that you love it and do it for the reasons because you love it. Don't mm-hmm. do it to get rich and be a rock star. Mm-hmm. If you're good at what you do, that will come. Well, I don't know about rich anymore, but you know, you will be, you know, you can do it. That would be the only thing that I would really know to do. Again, because I don't know how a young band would really break into the business now and actually become something big. I don't know how you would do that now. I mean, it does happen certainly, but I think more of the time it's kind of a fluke, you know, yeah. like, well, Greta Van Fleet again, you know, they came out with their album and they're playing big places. All yeah. of a sudden, like, I still don't quite know how that happened. I think yeah. maybe because they got onto the right label and it was done through those kind of channels and money was dumped into them, but that doesn't happen very often anymore. So right. I think my advice to any young musician was do it because you love music and don't give up, but do it only for that reason.
Yeah.
You know, work really hard.
Do you think that today that metal music is as vibrant as it was, you know, in its earlier conception?
I don't know if it's as vibrant because it's not a new thing. Like back in the 80s, that was the great part about when we were starting out is that we felt we were part of a movement.
Yeah.
You know, we helped build it and we helped create it, but there was a movement and there was a sense of camaraderie there with all the bands, you know, us, Metallica, Slayer, Anthrax, you know, Megadeth, we were all peers and friends and working for the same cause, you know? So, and Exodus too, but that was all part of, because of the times, that's the way it was still it's still that way. It was still that way then. Now, because it's not really a new thing, I don't know if it's necessarily as vibrant, but I do know that it goes through phases. Sometimes it's, you know, it's more popular than others. Sometimes it's not. And I think that's like anything though, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know if it's necessarily more vibrant, but it's certainly just about as popular, you know,
yeah.
you know, it is, whether it's in, you know, whether it's, you know, the flavor of the month or whether it's, you know, in favor now or popular or cool or hip, who knows? It's always been there ever since it started. It's never completely gone away.
Yeah. I find it, you know, kind of refreshing though, that still like your band and in Anvil and Megadeth and those guys are all still around today and they're all still making great music. And
yeah.
You know, because I'll be honest, I probably was one of those people that at one point in time thought, well, I wonder what the shelf life of this is going to be, because I was young when that was starting, you know, 81, when you came out, I was a junior in high school.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, I, you know, you wonder how long is this going to really go, because you could see classic rock coming to an end. At least it felt that way.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And so you wonder, but it's really cool to see that it's still on the scene and it's, you know,
yeah,
how come do you think we don't have the festivals like they have in Europe when it comes to it though?
I think a lot, because geographically we're so much larger.
Yeah.
I think because it's a lot easier to get, you know, to different festivals over there, you know, where here it's a lot longer drive to go. If you're in New York and the festival's in Nevada, you know,
yeah.
I think those kinds of things has a lot to do with it. But I also do think that Europe musically, they're not quite as a throwaway society as we are. When things change here, people throw away the stuff that just got changed. Over there, they go, oh, this new stuff is cool, but this is still cool too.
Yeah.
So I think there's a different mentality.
Yeah. You know,
there's a few, but I don't know. I think a lot of it's geographic, but again, I think we're just a little bit more drive-through mentality. You know,
do you think the fans over there are, well, I probably shouldn't ask this question. I'm just curious, you know, because when I see I've been to Europe, I've played, you know, throughout Europe in that, but I've never done, you know, in the Wacken Festival or anything crazy like that by any means. But it seems like the fans over there, I know from my perspective as being a, you know, a rock blues type artist, mm-hmm. that the fan base is just huge. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of enthusiasm.
Right.
Would you say that it's more like that there than it is here? Because I don't find it here like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really don't know why. I mean, maybe we're just spoiled here and we have too many choices.
I think that's it.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think it's, I don't know. And it's kind of sad because, I mean, when we were kids, you know, music was just massively important. Mm-hmm. I mean, just massively important. I don't know that it's not for kids now. I don't know. I mean, we didn't have the distractions.
Yeah.
We didn't have the video games. We didn't have computers. We didn't have online. We didn't have cell phones and, you know, these supercomputers in our hand. We didn't have all that stuff. So, and it was the ritual of coming home, putting on the record and sitting down and having to pay attention, you know, rather than just putting it on your headphones and going about your day and just having it be like, oh, that's a cool piece of art. Next. You know, something like that. It wasn't, it wasn't like that for us. We had to appreciate the moment a bit more.
Studying.
Again, I have to be careful. I don't want to sound like some old man going, who are your kids? You know, I don't want to sound that way, but some of it is true, you know, but you know, it's a different world now. It's a different world.
Yeah. I can recall every Friday as a kid, you know, junior high school, every Friday I went to the local record store. We had a small record store. Every Friday I went over and bought 4 albums.
Yeah.
And a lot of the albums that I ended up buying were purely because they were like Iron Maiden's very first album.
Me too.
Because it was so cool looking. And then when, you know, I opened it up and you're reading the liner notes and you're looking at everything, it's like, this is just so cool. And then you put it on and it's amazing.
Yeah. That's what I bought the first Iron Maiden. I mean, I knew of them, but you know, because I was reading a lot of the British papers. But you look at that first Iron Maiden album, just the name Iron Maiden has got to be like the coolest metal name, Iron Maiden, you know. And then you look at the cover, and it's that, it's like, well, yeah, this album is great. Just look, you know, just the whole idea of it. And they kept consistent with that. So they had it down, the whole package down, you know, from the very beginning. So,
but that experience of going to the record store.
Oh, I miss that so much.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. That same record store is owned by a friend of mine who worked at that record store when we were in high school together. He bought it and turned it in, and now it's just a big head shop, you know. It's like, right. Really no records in it anymore. It's t-shirts and pipes, you know.
So. Right. Well, I mean, I still get a little bit of that feeling because I love poking around for used vinyl. I mean, I've rebuilt my vinyl collection, so I buy new stuff, but I usually look around for the older stuff. So anytime there's a used record store, I'm always in there doing this.
Oh yeah.
And that's just a blast.
You got to. Okay, so we've spent all this time talking about the industry and metal and all this and that. Now I need you to tell me about the new album. You know,
No.
Then I thought it came out the 26th.
No, it comes out the 26th.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It's by the time this conversation's over with, it's out.
Right, yeah.
Well, exactly. Why don't you tell us about the album? I mean, what's the I love the title. With Children of Annihilation.
Congregation of Annihilation.
Congregation. That's right. I don't know why I said children. Yeah. I mean, I'm really curious as to what was behind that.
Well, on this particular record, Mark, when we realized that we could move forward with him and he brought a much more thrashy, much more aggressive sound to the band, he wrote the lyrics on this record, which is really nice. So like, wow, this record isn't just out of my head, you know? Yeah. So he wrote that. It's definitely a chapter, starting a new chapter where we didn't want to just do what we were doing before. You know, right. It's like, if we are going to continue, let's do something a little bit different. Let's change it up a bit. So there's a point where, okay, when with Mike was with us, we did this. Now we're going to do this. So it wasn't really a conscious effort to change. But when we realized that Mark was probably going to be the guy, he brought a much more aggressive sound to the band. So that kind of directed our direction in as much and going, I think that's going to work better for us if we get more aggressive, get heavier, get more thrashy. And I'm really feeling this, you know, this feels like the right thing to do. So that was definitely, the album is definitely more aggressive and thrashy. And it's going back to our roots, more like the first couple records. So that was not necessarily by design, but it was how the things developed, and it just made sense.
Yeah, it felt that way to me too. When I listened to it, it felt like this is, you know, reminiscent of earlier.
Yeah, this is phase four or something.
Right. Yeah. And you pretty much, you know, even though you've been abandoned, that when you've got somebody else, you know, in front, I mean, that really does change a lot of things.
Oh, absolutely. You
know, more so than changing a bass player.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Yeah, absolutely. It changes the sound of the band.
Yeah. So what would you tell people outside of, you said it's more aggressive and more edgy. Is there anything else that you think, you know, your fans are going to take away from this album that?
I hope that they take away that, that Metal Church is has not wimped out. we haven't, and I hope that they, enjoy the fact that it is a lot more aggressive and a lot more threat. I hope they enjoy that. I mean, that's the only thing. And I hope they don't, I hope they understand why we did it that way. And that was just because we didn't want to mic clone. We didn't want to, if we were continue, because there was a good few months there where I didn't think it was going to happen. So it was just step by step to see how it was going to happen. And so I think that they'll take away that here, you know, if you want to know what old school thrash metal's like, here's a new modern take on it.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way to word it, I think. Yeah, I listened to the album several times, of course, after it was sent to me and that. And I really like it. Personally,
cool,
but then again, I've always been a Metal Church fan, you know, going back to your early days and right stuff, because it, there's some memories from back then. That
oh yeah. Come
up when it's playing, you know?
Absolutely, dude. I got them too. Yeah, you bet.
Yeah. So, well, I tell you what, man, I appreciate the conversation.
Oh, my too, man. I love talking to music geeks like myself.
Yeah. And I wish you all the success with the new album. And
thank you very much, man. I appreciate that.
And hopefully if you come to Chicago, I don't know if you come to Chicago. You come to Chicago this summer?
We'll come in Chicago at 1st of June. Reggie's.
Are you going to Reggie's?
Yeah, we're playing Reggie's on the 1st.
Oh, shit. I'm going to have.
Oh, you're in Chicago. Yeah, we're playing Reggie's. And then the next night we're playing in the Token in Detroit.
Reggie's. That's a crazy place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah. So it should be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, great, man. I tell you what, Kurt, I appreciate the conversation.
My pleasure. Enjoyed it very much.
Wish you all the best, my friend.
Thanks, man.
You take care.
You too.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.